Welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection, ladies and gentlemen. We're changing our format a little, and this started last week, and we're going to continue. Rather than have live broadcasts on Sunday, we'll be pre-recording during the week, but we're still going to invite call-ins and everything, so we'll let you all know, and Denise can help set that all up. Anyhow, the time we're going to be doing this will be 2 to 3 Central Time, or 3 to 4 Eastern Time, or 1 to 2 Mountain, and 12 to 1 Pacific Time on Wednesday. Denise, let's open with you. Good. How are you today?
Well, we're hanging in there. I wanted to do a brief announcement on what the VA has scheduled for town hall meetings coming up. And these are the ones that I'm going to read out to people. Is the VA Pittsburgh is having a Veterans Town Hall meeting at its University Drive campus from 1 to 2:30 p.m. on September the 18th. Then we have, the next one would be Asheville. We'll be having one on September 18th at the Charles George VA Medical Center to answer questions. And that's from 5 to 7 at the Charles George VA Medical Center in Asheville. Then we have Dorn VA Medical Center. We'll be having a town hall meeting on September 24th. That will be at Medallion Center, 7309 Garner Ferry Road. And that will be from 6 to 7 p.m. Then we have another one for town hall meeting in Oklahoma City VA Medical Center at the Medical Center. And that will be on September 24th at 6 p.m. The next one is the Illinois Healthcare System. We'll be having one from 6 to 8 p.m. this coming Friday at the VA Illiano Veterans Chapel, Building 49. West Palm Beach VA will be having a town hall meeting on September 23rd from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. The Phoenix VA will be having another town hall. Phoenix is where all the troubles erupted, as we all know. And they're meeting on September the 19th, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center in Phoenix in the basement conference room. Tonight, they're having a meeting at Fort Wayne, Indiana VA Hospital at 7 p.m. Topeka, Kansas is also having one tonight, same time period. I know the Denver VA is having one on the 23rd at the VA Medical Center here in Denver. I have a hard time finding all these, but I'm trying to get them all. The Bedford VA Medical Center in Massachusetts is having one Tuesday, September 23rd from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Bedford VA Medical Center, Building 78. That's their theater, I guess, in Bedford, Massachusetts. And so that kind of runs down on the town hall meetings. Now, if you go to the town hall meetings, people, what you need to be doing is you're going to go in. They're probably going to do some announcements from that VA Medical Center or that VA regional office is also supposed to be having them. And that, if it's the regional office, is where you're going to bring up about claims issues. The other ones that I read out about are the healthcare issues. So you need to focus if it's healthcare or claims, first of all. They'll start with some statistics, probably sharing with you the data that they have to share with you at that VA center. And then they open the floor. Now, veterans, you need to be prepared. And you go in, state a problem. State whatever the problem is. With our claims on Gulf War illness issue, we have an 80% denial rate. We have C&P examiners that aren't doing an adequate job for the Gulf War veteran. But we have a problem with the presumptive diagnosis claims. And so we need to address that and say we need help in getting that solved and maybe suggest ways. On health care, you need to bring out the issues you've had on your own health care and what you suggest as improvement. They want to hear your comments, but it's not just a what we call a bitch session, people. You need to address what happened and what your proposed action would be to correct it. They are taking notes. They usually have three or four people there taking notes. Some of them are getting videotapes of it so that the secretary is getting a full rundown of these town hall meetings. So that's very important to know. And the other thing is that we also have another meeting coming up that I want to mention, and that's our VA Research Advisory Committee on Gulf War Illness Research. And that will be on September 22nd and 23rd in D.C. The first day is at D.C. Headquarters. The second meeting is over at Arlington and a convention center. Now, if you cannot attend, the call-in number to participate is 800-767-1750. Let me repeat that for the September 22nd and 23rd Research Advisory Committee. Is the call-in number to listen is 800-767-1750, and their access code that you plug in when you get through on that line is 50055. So that would be 50055 for the access number. We have brought up to our research advisory committee multiple times that they need to Skype or live webinar these meetings, so that people can connect and really see what's going on and what's being discussed and being able to see the slide presentations, because they all have slides and PowerPoints. We will bring that up again. People, we've had problems in the VA, whether it's attitude, whether it's hiding appointment lists to get into the VA. The near list is when you go in and you haven't really gone through the DD-214 and being accepted into the VA system, much less than having regular scheduled appointments and getting in a timely manner. Right now, as we are taping this program, there is a VA House Committee hearing on the IG report on the deaths. And it's extremely heartbreaking to hear this. To hear that they went through, basically, you know, they went through a lot of records, but 92 ACEs were completely examined. I think 12 or 18 of those have already been referred to the Justice Department. Let me correct that. 93 cases, 12 have been turned over to the Justice Department. We still have a variance in the numbers that died while they were on a waiting list. They've stated in the hearing so far today that 28 died on the waiting list. That is just getting in the door at the VA, being approved to be seen there. That number that was quoted in earlier hearings, 40 may have died by Dr. Footsteps. Testimony. Now they're looking at 83. They reviewed over 3,409 records. If they were on this near list just to get their foot in the door at the VA, they didn't have any records to examine. Okay, so this is all being talked about today in a hearing that you can get online and see at Thomas, later at the C-SPAN in their archives. There's been a lot being done since June, I think it's when all this started, on investigations at the VA. And veterans, you need to speak up. I recommend you go to these hearings, these town hall meetings, speak up. But say what the problem is, what a solution is, get it in writing, give it to them in writing, give it to them verbally, conduct yourself professionally, as all military people that have served should be. Because if we don't voice our concerns at the local level, then it's never heard higher up. So a lot of people have put down going to these town hall meetings, but I think that it behooves us to work at every level we can to get problems solved. And it starts at your local level, and you work your way up. Our Gulf War Research Advisory Committee meeting is going to be interesting. I'm not sure, but I think maybe the Secretary of the VA will show up. We hope he will. Secretary Shinseki never went to one of our RAC meetings. We're hoping that some actions will help us keep our chairman, Mr. Jim Benz, distinguished Vietnam veteran, distinguished lawyer, distinguished business owner that developed the company in ultrasound, later sold it off, but this was before ultrasound was so commonly out there. He is able to relate to the researchers and scientists. We have done battle to keep the VA from putting in those that have expertise in psychology versus those that are really looking for the answers in Gulf War veterans and doing the hard research to find the biomarkers. And by using the biomarkers and advanced diagnostic tools to find treatments that will help the Gulf War vets. I doubt there will ever be a cure, but certainly there should be treatments coming out. I also want to mention that there is a treatment study going on out in Palo Alto. It's using the magnetic wave. It's called RTMS. So that's a treatment study that's going on right now out in VA, Palo Alto, California. You do not have to have gone through the RIF program to be a participant in this. You do not have to even probably be in the system. If you're a Gulf War vet and they can check that out, then you can go into this study. If you're outside of California, it will be a two-week time commitment, and then you have to go back 6 months and a year later. They do follow-ups. That phone number to get into that study out in Palo Alto is 650-852-3233. That is an active study going on out in Palo Alto with the RTMS treatment for chronic pain that we have. Now, that program will pay for your expense to go out there, get you there, put you up, be sure you get to the research for 2 weeks. If you're in California or in driving range, it doesn't have to be done in 2 weeks. It could be spaced out. So that's different if you live closer and can get there. But if you live a distance away and it's going to be expensive to get there, they're going to condense it into 2 weeks. Now, this is a controlled study. So, you know, the people doing the study will not know which ones are actually getting the treatment and which ones aren't. You have the control group not getting the actual treatment. But once it's finished, and they see the results, the other group will be allowed to come back and have the treatment, and again, fully paid for. This is one that's funded through the VA. There are other studies coming up that will start recruiting patients from the different Boston, Texas, California, Florida. They've all got studies coming up, but they're not ready to recruit patients yet to be part of that. That will be coming soon, and we'll keep you alerted to that by our radio program. One way we keep people informed, besides our Facebook pages that we run. If you are a Gulf War vet and out there and sick, I would recommend that you get on Facebook, join our page on Gulf War Illnesses. We have a lot of discussion, a lot of help going on your claims. We actually have people that are Gulf War vets that work for the VA that are trying to get straight, clear answers to you on that page on your claims. many of us that have dealt with this since the early beginning are on that page. If you ask a question, we can help you out and guide you. And that's on Facebook on Gulf War Illnesses page. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to you for a while, Doug.
Okay. One of the things that, another thing that came out in the Army Times, and they've been doing a pretty good job, again, is on the claims issues, that, again, the military is really deficient in their providing the medical records to the VA, both timely records, and the other problem is providing incomplete records. Now, we've known that for a long time. We've known that medical records disappeared in the units, medical records disappeared when they were consolidated, and so that's a significant problem. So the VA is trying to trigger the Department of Defense into getting the medical records provided to them, too, but that's a significant problem. I think that goes back to Denise and Paul, what we've all made recommendations before. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have your own copies of all the medical records. You need to demand that and make sure you get it. The other thing, too, and which is a big problem for all of us, and I know I have had my own denial, is the line of duty report. So if you get sick or ill or injured or go for medical care or anything, you need to get your commander to do a complete line of duty. Because even in my own case with the Army Material Command from the DU project, we did all the work, then they sent a letter and said, go get for medical care. But they refuse to do a line of duty. So that's a nightmare, totally, totally there. For Danville, Ileana VA Medical Center, that town hall meeting is this Friday night at 1800, 6 p.m. In the chapel. I've already met with Mr. Rivera, the director, the new director who's picked up Danville. We went over a lot of things. And again, medical care is a key thing on this thing. The doctor is listening to the patients. The doctor is getting all the information together. I think all of what we've had to do, and Denise, you and I have talked about it ad nauseum. Paul, you've gone through the ringer. It seems like we've had to be the teacher for the doctor rather than doctor taking the initiative to get it out. The other thing, too, again, the same thing, is all the documentation. I mean, the internal Department of Defense documents, the internal Department of Veteran Affairs documents, the physician's directives that have been hidden from the veteran have been, that's got to stop. And I went through that with Mr. Rivera. The other thing, too, is phone calls. I keep hearing over and over again the same problem I have is people make a phone call to the VA for help, and they never get a return phone call, or it'll be days before they get a return phone call. Denise, have you had that problem? Paul, have you had that problem?
Well, we had a problem lately with the suicide hotline, and one of our vets actually recorded it, and they are still trying to figure out what the glitch happened, but he was on hold for 36 minutes. We notified the Senate, the House Veterans Affairs personnel. We also notified the Secretary of the VA, and I know other calls went out to the Undersecretary of Health by another person. So he has been being followed up on that. We had the problem with checks that went out that if you had a debt owed to the VA and that you had an agreed amount to pay each month, this ended up, we thought it affected more, but it ended up affecting 3,000 vets. And we notified the Senate and House and Secretary of VA, and apparently that got corrective action quickly, and people got that corrected on their disability payments. But what happened was instead of taking out the agreed amount per month, they took out the whole amount, and that put some vets in a bind. People, I can't say enough that you need to get, you know, in communication. I am telling the VA right now in their town hall meetings there was no central listing of these town hall meetings on the main VA.gov site. It should have been on the front page listing them all at once. What you had to do, and if you haven't, these were supposed to be done by the end of September, both at the VA health facilities and the VA regional office. We had to sign up for emails, or at least I did. I signed up for every email I could from the VA.gov site. I got notification that way and shared it on Gulf War Illnesses site. The VSOs had a list that has been added to that we've put out on the Gulf War Illness site on the dates. But if you have not heard of one, they did not mail out. Like for your appointments, you get a mail-out notice. They did not do a mail-out to every veteran of when they were going to do this. They relied on their Facebook pages for the different VA hospitals and VA regional offices. And any press that you may have seen, either on TV, which they normally report when something happens instead of beforehand, or in newspapers. So I did Google searches. I did my best to get word out to everybody. But you need to get on Twitter. They did a lot of Twitter notification from the VA hospitals. You need to check the Facebook pages for your VA hospital. And for your VA regional office, I have been doing that and trying to get it out to everybody. It wasn't organized the way it should have been, but we're doing our best to share that knowledge with you, and it's up to you to make your choice to attend. And
yeah, the big problem that I've seen, again, locally here in Indiana and Illinois in the area, was getting the information out, so we started coordinating with the local TV and radio and newspapers. So once we got direct information that was at hand, them calling them direct. So the veteran, you need to call your local radio station, your TV, whatever it is, and get the information out. So share it with them so they can get it covered and let the other vets know.
The contact at your VA facility is called the public affairs person. So if you call the number to your VA facility or your VARO, you know, if you're getting a runaround, then ask them for the public affairs officer. They are in charge of notifying, you know, the press and all that. So that would be a way to find out if your facility has already had one. We're recommending that they do this more regularly and not when they're in crisis mode, but to actually do it, you know, in a manner like once a quarter or twice a year, to have set times that they do this.
Yeah, there's been a lot of reviews, I mean, over the past, and again, we've had problems, and hopefully this will make a correction. I know in my meetings with Mr. Rivera for the Danville VA, it was a positive meeting, and hopefully we'll see their corrections. We discussed a lot of issues that have absolutely been verified and validated. What was interesting, and I'm finding it more and more interesting across the VA and other areas, is the individuals themselves are starting to speak out within the system. Before, we had a significant philosophical, social, and cultural issue of not blowing the whistle without getting retaliation. And now we're seeing more and more that are speaking up to help because, again, as the information got out, they're having more and more courage to say, well, we need to get some help and get something done. I mean, there's a lot of good people out there that had their fingers tied by the political decisions to deny. I mean, Paul, one of the things that you worked on, you were director of the Desert Storm Justice Foundation, is getting the documents and information from the Department of Defense and the VA, right?
Oh, I had a very hard time with that. As a matter of fact, thank you for inviting me on, Doug. A lot of the times, some of the FOIAs would even be not even acknowledged. Of course, I sent everything where I couldn't go to by certified mail, so I would have a paper trail. And I also contacted whoever it was in public affairs and got their name and phone number also. But there's a memorandum that I'm going to be starting a new website. I've just talked to the Whitcombs. I'm going to be reobtaining the 501c3, and I'm going to be coming out with a website that's going to be inclusive for Desert Storm and Operation Iraqi Freedom veterans, to put out documentation on the website that pertains to health hazards from both major operations. So I just want people to know it. We're bouncing a real nice name off the wall back and forth to each other before the website gets up, but I've got documents already to load. And hopefully these documents will answer a lot of soldiers' questions as far as what happened over there and what happened to them and why they haven't been possibly treated, because it goes down to liability, if you ask me, money involved.
Well, I think the whole thing was some money involved, because I know from day one, and Denise, you've met all of the Bowers Raiders and talked to the command staff, and we've been down to CDC conference where they spoke up loud and clear. I mean, the conscious decision was made before, to deny and avoid responsibility and liability, but it's not just because of the direct U.S. military casualties, but because of all the
spousal
and children family casualties from cross-contamination and everything else. I mean, it's. I mean, Paul, you yourself have...
I have a sick daughter right now.
Into ...where we have had
and
children affected, correct?
Pardon me?
We've had children affected by the spouse, by the father or the mother that came back sick and contaminated.
She's very ill. She has chronic fatigue. She's 12 years old, has chronic fatigue. When she gets home from school, she sometimes won't even eat supper because she wants to sleep. And she has rashes all over her. Thank God I found a dermatologist. And my wife had been bringing her to the dermatologist, but I'm going to go at the next appointment because I'm going to ask him some questions. And I'd love for, I'm going to also go into the clinic myself and have him run some tests on me and see if there, what we can find out, if there's any similarities with my rashes and hers, because what the VA is sending me for my rashes, I was looking at the ingredients, the effective ingredients are pretty much the same as far as what she's received through this dermatologist. So I find it just rather odd she's got issues that I've got. Now that's just two of what I've got, but she does have and she also has joint aches too. So that bothers me, and I just want the truth, like anyone else out there who's sick and ill. We want the truth. It doesn't matter who shot John. It did happen, and let's treat the soldiers, the veterans, and their family members. Now the VA, excuse me, at one time. What, at the very beginning when all this started, the VA was seeing spouses and family members, and they abruptly stopped after, I believe, a year or so. And I was told by certain people at different clinics I had asked, it had to do with a funding issue.
Well, basically, we had had that by law, and there was a deadline date on it.
And okay, thank you for enlightening me on that.
No one pushed to get it extended, and the other part of the story is we have brought up that issue at the RAG meeting in April, and they said they've lost all the data. Well, we're going to...
Well, let's reinstitute it.
Right. But before we go on, I had a list of the regional office town hall meetings. Let me go through what I have, and that's on the Veterans Benefit Administration VBA page on Facebook. Let me read through these in case you're not on Facebook, just so you know they're coming up. The Milwaukee VA Regional Office Town Hall meeting will be on Tuesday, September 30th at 2 p.m. at the VA Medical Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Newark, New Jersey VA Regional Office will be having one town hall meeting. And this is on your benefits and compensation. Take place Tuesday, September 30th at 10 a.m. at the regional office in Newark, New Jersey at 20 Washington Place is the address. The Baltimore VA regional office will be having a town hall meeting on Wednesday, September 29th at 1 p.m. at the regional office, which is in Baltimore, Maryland, 31 Hopkins Plaza. Let's see, the White River Junction VA Regional Office in Vermont will be having one on Friday, September 26th at 10 a.m. at the VA Medical Center in White River Junction, Vermont. The Honolulu VA Regional Office will be having a town hall meeting on Friday, September 26th at 12 p.m. at the Oahu Veterans Center in Honolulu. The Manchester, New Hampshire VA Regional Office will be having one on Thursday, September 25th at 2 p.m. local, and that's at the VA Medical Center in Manchester. The Chicago VA Regional Office, Doug, this is for you, will be at the Wednesday, September 24th at the Jesse Brown VA Medical Center in Chicago. The VA Regional Office Town Hall meeting will take place on Monday, September 22nd at 8:30 a.m. at the Denver VA Medical Center, downtown Denver. The Boise VA regional office will have their town hall meeting for the regional on Wednesday, September 24th at 9 a.m. at the VA Medical Center in Boise, Idaho. The Cleveland VA regional office will have their town hall meeting on September 24th at 2 p.m. local at their regional office, 1240 East 9th Street in Cleveland, Ohio. The Portland VA regional office town hall will be on Tuesday, September 23rd at 1:30 p.m. at the VA hospital in Portland, Oregon in their auditorium. Indianapolis VA regional office will have their town hall Tuesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. at the regional office in Indianapolis, Indiana, 575 North Pennsylvania Street. Let me see if there's others. Roanoke, Virginia VA regional office for town hall meeting will be Monday, September 22nd at 3 p.m. local time at the Salem VA Medical Center in Salem, Virginia. The Tagus, Maine VA regional office will have their town hall meeting Monday, September 22nd at 1 p.m. at the Tagus VA Medical Center in Tagus, Maine. Let's see. I think those are all that I have. I'm just scanning down to see if there's any others. Now, where I found this, like I said, I've done Google searches for the town hall meetings. I've signed up for VA on their VA website on all their public affairs announcements, and also hunting down their Facebook pages for the hospitals or for the regional offices, and checking for Twitter feeds. They really should have sent out notices to every veteran that's already in the system. They send us out notices for the appointments that we have. So hopefully in the future, if we get them to repeat these, they will do it in a better way so that all vets are officially notified ahead of time.
You know, one of the problems with notification has been, Paul, like you have said from day one, Denise, and all that we ran into is there were decisions made not to give people the information and withhold the information. Then the other thing, too, whether it be medical care protocols or whether it's something on how to get a claim through or everything else. And, I mean, we ran into a financial bind, the same thing with all the health data, the epidemiological data. It's just been a lack of things. So hopefully the changes are going to be made. I know here locally in Ileana VA Medical Center, the director was very positive when I met with him and going over what the problems were, and yet it'll be seen whether we have it. You know, one thing that we got to do, and I can't reiterate it enough, and all three of us have been up there and walked the halls and done this stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to these meetings, please get dressed professionally. Don't go in there like you're going into battle. Don't go in there like you're out in the middle of the farm field. But get dressed up and clean. The other thing, too, is what I found extraordinarily beneficial and positive in our area here is taking the documents with you. If you have them available, have the information so you can validate each and every point that you're having and where you're asking for help. So that's your own appointment records, your appointment logs, medical records, or anything that you have. Take those with you and present those evidence.
Doug, could I suggest they make copies if they're going to hand them out?
Yeah, if you anticipate that they're going to want to make copies. Now, on the regional office town hall meetings, I went to one up in Cheyenne, and they actually did see veterans after the meeting and took them up to the regional office and dealt with their claims one-on-one. So you'll want to take your records with you for your claims that you've submitted. Of course, if you've submitted it, it should all be on the computer because they were able to pull mine up. But be prepared if you go to the regional office town hall meetings. They are trying to solve problems right then and there. Some of these town hall meetings that the Legion attended with their crisis center, they had Legion personnel working with the VA to resolve problems right on the spot. And a lot of people got that resolved there. So there's a possibility.
Well, a lot of it has to do with your veteran service officer, too, Denise. That's like Jim Bunker told me 2 weeks ago. He said I was going to get my house bound.
Yes.
I haven't received a shred of paper from him. He's with the National, or was with the National Gulf War Resource Center. I don't know if he is still. I think he's kind of got away from it, or maybe he's still on the board. I'll be waiting for the paperwork, Jim, if you're listening. But your veteran service officer should be fully trained in the regulations and know what paperwork to submit. And by all means, submit copies. But do not submit your original paperwork because you may need it for future reference.
I want you to know this is your time to deal with the people at the regional office one-on-one. It doesn't matter if you have a VSO, a lawyer. You can go in and talk to them one-on-one. One of the things I brought up is communication is a key with everything, and how you're approached at the health care center and what kind of runaround you get on your health end. The same thing on your claims. And I said, listen, they should at least give an email of who is handling your claim at that regional office.
They should. And now, they also have, Denise, they have a patient's advocate for veterans. And if you're seeing a doctor and you're a veteran and you feel that doctor is not treating you right, you have the rights to request another doctor in that field.
Not only that, but if you do not get satisfaction from the patient advocate, and I always mention people write up your complaint, what it is and what you expect done. And if you're not getting satisfaction from the patient advocate, you go up the next step to the administrator of the hospital, okay? You try the patient advocate first, and a lot of times they can resolve it. Sometimes, you know, we got good and bad people within the system, and, you know, you have the right to go forward to, you know, the administrator of the hospital if you're not getting answers and help through the patient advocate. So we are trying to help our fellow vets, and we're not VA employees. No, none of us on this program today are VA employees.
We're advocates trying to help our fellow veterans get the treatment they need and they deserve.
And a lot of times we've gotten feedback about, you know, the town hall meetings were a waste of time. In fact, one of the organizations that Paul mentioned were putting down having these done. But this is your time locally to speak up. And I'll also put a, you know, plug in, if you need to stay in touch with your congressman, your U.S. congressman, and your two U.S. senators. And be aware
I've got a suggestion,
when they have
Denise.
Town hall meetings that right. you attend, because it all starts at the local level and builds up to the national level. Yes,
I've got a suggestion for these folks out here. If you're going to contact your congressman, like they may have a regional office in your area, and they and what they'll do is have you sign a non-disclosure letter where the congressman or the senator has access to your records if you're filing a congressional inquiry, is what it is. But really what could get things going is if you type that letter out, and it will actually get more attention than that one sheet form you fill out that they fax to the other office where whoever it is the veterans liaison officer for each congressman or senator. If you type them out a specific letter, include photocopies of your medical records where it states something you want them to see, highlight it in yellow so they don't have to chase through the whole complicated form, I think it's going to help you get more treatment faster and better.
Right. Nope. That is action for, you know, help from your congressman. But what I'm saying is get in touch with that congressman and get in touch with your senators. They do have town hall meetings. And you have to, you know, initiate it that you're interested in any town hall meeting. They all have
and you could also invite them to your locale.
Right. They all have web pages. You can check on there. Sign up for their email that they send out to you electronically of when they're doing things. You need to get involved at every level, whether, you know, it's going to town hall meetings at the VA or the regional office or, you know, being involved with what the congressman is addressing or the senators are addressing in their town hall meeting. If they're not having a town hall meeting for their veterans, you should speak up.
Exactly.
And the other thing I stress is I've tried on Facebook to get people organized by state for the Gulf War veterans so that you can meet each other, help each other, guide each other. If you have a good service officer, somebody else might need that information.
Also, if you send a letter to your congressman or senator, send it registered where you have a record of it.
Oh, if you communicate with
the always have a paper trail.
If you communicate with the VA by mail, always register it.
Yes. And if you know who you're going to address it to, put it on the registration.
Going to a town hall meeting to me was very educational. I'll be out of town when they do it in Denver. But I really stress, and when you go, make up some little business cards or a sheet of paper with, you know, cut it out of paper so that, you know, if you find another Gulf War vet, exchange information so you can be in touch with each other. Veterans, we are a chain out here of survivors, okay? And we can help each other with resources, with knowledge. If you've already been through your claims process, you can help guide. You know, everybody has to evaluate the information they receive from their VSO or from fellow veterans. Always evaluate it. Check it with the 38 U.S. Code, which is code for Veterans Affairs.
Title 38.
And, you know, you've got to do some work yourself. If your spouse is willing, get her involved, because I know we have a lot of neurocognitive issues with the Gulf War vets. I encourage you to take your spouse with you or a friend with you when you deal with this, to take notes for you, if nothing else. You know, we can do better. And each of us as veterans or as family members or spouses, you know, have a part to play in this.
Now, and the other thing, too, and I want to bring this up because it's extremely important. I was in Champaign, Illinois, a couple hours ago. And again, there was another homeless vet that was parked on the street with a sign asking for help, and we were coordinating with the VA for his help. The other thing, too, I got a information from Professor Dr. Lopez, director of Center for Farm Worker Families out in California, and the San Jose Mercury from last week had a significant story on the homeless veterans in the Bay Area. So that's still a significant problem. They've got front page story on a veteran in the Bay Area out in California, San Jose and everything, where the guy's living in a car, and they're trying to get everything. He did get a housing voucher from the VA, but the problem they're run into then is some landlord or some apartment complex willing to take these housing vouchers that the VA issues. So that's a real significant problem. So if you see people out there, refer them to the VA, get them referred in. I know most VAs are supposed to have a homeless coordinator today, and they're supposed to be able to help and provide vouchers and get these families off the street, but right now it's still broken.
Yeah, that has been improving. I can say that about the past secretary. A lot of attention has been paid to the homeless issue, and I think that situation has improved in the last couple of years, but it behooves each of us to reach out. Be aware. You know, some of them on the street may not be legit. You know, first thing that you're going to have to do is if you go online, if you're a veteran or you're helping another veteran, you can actually enroll in the VA system electronically now, or else you go to the VA Medical Center with your DD-214, and, you know, you register to be enrolled in the VA system that way. You've got to get through that door of eligibility to get into the VA system. And so, you know, go to the VA.gov website. It's amazing.
If you're trying to get into the VA, bring them a copy, never an original, of your DD-214. Fill out the form. Your regional offices and what's known as CBOX, and that's just basically small medical outlets like they've got near where I live. They've got the applications available where you can fill it out, like my wife did last week, and she's finally getting her first VA appointment here coming up this next week. So it doesn't take long to get enrolled in the VA system.
No. And they, one of the things they have done with all the scandal is they are working on all those wait lists that they discovered hidden in death drawers on paper, and they have been doing a mammoth job on that. I have to have to hand it to them. They found the problem, and they have been tackling it and calling vets, lining them up to get in. Takes a little time to get them worked through the system, get them into the system. If they're not, if they're on the NEARS list, which were the ones that hadn't officially been entered into the system, or the wait list for appointments. They are calling people. They are doing their work now. It took a scandal to shake them up, but maybe...
Well, there are good people in the VA. They aren't all bad apples. There are some good people in the VA, so we can't just say down with the VA as a total whole. There are some good people who really want to help us.
And there are veterans themselves that are employees of the VA. I think I heard the number 30-40% are veterans.
It's around, I think it's around 50%, closer to 50%, Denise.
And they are actively, I know this secretary is actively going out to medical schools and doing a real recruitment drive to get more doctors and specialists. So, you know, we've shaken them up. We need to allow them a little grace to move forward. We keep a watch on them. We speak out when things aren't going right. And one of the things I'm speaking out is when you go to the town hall meeting, and they tell you you have to fill out a little index card of what your question is, and they hand it in, they'll pick which question they want to address. I don't go for that. That's, freedom of speech, and you should just line them up at the microphones and let them speak. So there's still work to be done, but I think this new secretary actually may be a good thing. The proof is in the pudding, but he is out there working hard to try to correct all the problems, and there are mammoth problems while investigations ongoing on the Hill about the scandal. But, you know, go in with the attitude of you want to help them correct the problem, okay? That's the attitude we need, is a positive attitude of this is what happened.
Right.
It's in the past. This is what I'd like to see in the future.
Right.
And we work together to make it right.
That's a good philosophy there, Denise, rather than finger-pointing at any individual, because no one individual, short of the director of the VA himself, no one individual is in charge of the VA. They have to work within the guidelines as well. So,
and
not everyone out there is...
My heart breaks, was listening to the hearing that's ongoing as we speak, of the investigation and the IG report on the deaths that occurred.
That well, that's hard for any veteran to take.
That should have never happened, but there's investigations ongoing. We don't want to lose any vet. I know that they had patients that was suicidal that shouldn't have been released. There was patients that needed an implantable cardiac defibrillator that most probably would have saved his life. I'm going to say this, people. If you don't get the care you need and you take all the appropriate steps, which means activate that patient advocate, activate going to the administrator's office right then and there to cut the red tape and get the help that the veterans need. That's why you need to take a family member or a good friend to help you work the system. And if you do not get help, go to your local ER. Please do not let us have another vet die because you didn't follow through. I mean, if you're not getting care at some place, you go somewhere else.
And let me state this also for a lot of veterans, Denise. If they get, sometimes they'll meet a person who they don't agree with, and rather than storm out of the VA, you need to go to the patient's advocate, explain it, get it reduced to writing, see if you can get a copy of it, and find another treatment doctor who can treat you. Don't give up on the VA.
Yeah, the VA can be good, and we need to correct the problems. And veterans, we are, as the secretary said, the normal pattern you see in a management diagram is top of the chain, and then your next level down and next level and all the way down. VA system's huge with facilities throughout this country for claims and for benefits, much less for the cemeteries. And, you've got to be logical and work through the problems. And if you're having a problem, reach out. There's other veterans that will help. I'm saying get on Facebook.
The other thing, too, I want to point out right now is most of the VAs I know here in the Danville, East Central Illinois, Indiana area, the Danville VA chaplains group. So if you've got a problem, call your VA and talk to your chaplain. They have the trained chaplains there that can help you. They can intervene. We've had a lot of success recently here in the Indiana-Illinois region where the chaplains did intervene to get care for everybody. And so that's a resource that you can absolutely count on.
And the other resource is there's always a medical officer on duty. It's called the medical officer on duty or admin duty of the day if that's on a weekend, okay? So you have to know the system like we knew in the military to work it correctly.
And for those out there who have sick children, we all need to unite, especially during this upcoming election. And I'm not saying who to vote for, advocating one way or the other, but you need to let it known to both of your, whoever's running, the elected officials, put it like that, that you have sick children, and we need to reinstitute the VA treating sick spouses and sick children. It needs to happen again.
Right. And people, you need to be involved. If you can't travel to D.C., which I always encourage my vets, if there's any way, and you're going to drive up there, let us know your route and jump on board and, you know, get a ride to go up there. They'll also, you know, no vet will turn you down to help share a room, whatever, to get you up there because a lot happens in D.C. Check the House Veterans Affairs, the Senate Veterans Affairs. Those hearings are online. Sometimes they're right online on TV, on C-SPAN, or taped and shown later. You can get it online. Or through Thomas, like today there was so many hearings going on, and I went in, and normally you can click on the little TV on their little page saying about their hearing, and you connect that way, or on C-SPAN. Well, the other way is through Thomas' website. They will carry live when C-SPAN doesn't carry it live online on the computer. Use the resources to get to the library. This is called being informed, being educated, knowing what's going on, and being involved. It takes being involved to get changes made. And I know I've been up to D.C. more so than my other two comrades on this program. Yeah, I cash in on those frequent flyer miles as much as I can. But as a nurse and seeing what I was seeing early on, I knew we were going to need help, and I knew what was happening, and I went to my local VA. I wasn't happy. And, you know, you got to tackle them at every level. We have Jill Graves, whose term ends September 31st, and Jill Graves has been excellent.
Okay.
Jeffrey Knox and Anthony Hardy resigned in protest of what the VA was doing to the RAC. I would hope that we can get them back on. The other individuals in Bunker, I will not say any more, but I would prefer to have Marguerite Knox back and Anthony Hardy back, people that know what's being tried to be done. To speak for us. I respect them totally. I've been behind Marguerite since she was on the Presidential Advisory Committee. Anthony Hardy is very talented at what he does. Mr. Jim Benz will be term limited September 31st also, along with Peter O'Halloran.
Okay. Now, do you know how veterans advocates, how do they get submitted to be considered for being on the board of the
RAC? You know, right now the VA has total control on submitting who they want on it. Our bill, 4261, if I remember correctly, got over from the House to the Senate. The Senate did not act on it. We were trying to get that changed.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Well, our time is running out for this hour. Again, Denise, you've got your web page, the Facebook page. That's where people can get information. Another thing, too, if you have suggestions for future programs or guests or want to come on the program, get with Denise on the Facebook page and bring that up to us. Get that to Gary Noel. Gary Noel, we got to thank you completely for on your staff, everybody, Jason, everybody for all the work you do for us. Any last comments?
I'd like to thank Gary Noll again for being an advocate for us.
And thank Doug for carrying this forward and being the moderator at all times. It gets kind of crazy when we're doing this from three locations and call in to tape, but we're here to get the information out to the veterans, and that's what we're trying.
Okay, well, thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, out here.